How are you? What's on your mind?
I'm good. And what's on my mind? Jeez. Next fiscal year, I suppose, is kind of what's on my mind right now. So, yeah, no, I'm all's well. I've been permitting myself the luxury of upgrading my workspace. So as you might be able to see behind me,
I can see that. Yeah, styrofoam. I'm not you're in the cellar anymore.
Well, I'm still down there, but what I did was I spent the weekend building a subfloor in the area that I'm in and got some rigid foam styrofoam insulation, set it up, taped it. So I won't freeze this winter. And and I have a desk now, like a legitimate real desk at home. These are all great things.
You're right.
Why
don't you build an office down there?
Oh, well, let's not get carried away. we need these things to keep us humble and remind us what little we need to get by, right? But the few creature comforts every once in a while is okay. And as you can see, I've got a headset on now. So
yeah,
we now, we've transitioned to a soft phone is what they're calling it, but, we're using Microsoft Teams as our video calling. And I now also have my phone running through there. So, which is great because it gets my client interactions off of my personal cell phone and, which I can still use through the Microsoft Teams app. So it's actually really quite seamless. I can do video calls, much like Zoom, right? And then I can just dial a phone number through the system as well. And then my voicemail runs through that way, and I can also have it set up. So, cause the problem with, through the pandemic with us working remotely and Kristen working remotely and all this other stuff, Kristen couldn't pick up my line. She, you know, I couldn't have any call. It was really hard for me to get call orders set up so that, you know, if I don't call, it would ring to her before going to voicemail. But now I can do that with this, Microsoft Teams setup. I can do all sorts of, call routing, which I couldn't do before. So this is all good stuff. So, you know what? Day late, dollar short, but better late than never, I suppose.
No,
so that's
great.
Where that's at. Yeah.
It's great.
And then, you know, beyond that, things continue to move in the right direction. And I think just having faith in the process, Rob, is important. And, I'm enjoying the process and just reflecting back on. So my revenue hasn't moved meaningfully over the last 12 months. That's okay. I'm all right with that right now. Assets are up, but you know, it's not necessarily the right kind of assets, right? I'm looking for fee-based assets that are going to generate reoccurring revenue and so on. But all in all, moving in the right direction there. And then, you know, reflecting back on the, you know, as we get ready for the next fiscal, which is kind of a non-event, but our fiscal year starts November 1.
Okay.
You know, so Kristen and I unpacked, you know, what we can do better, what we should be tracking. And, one of the things was we continue to tweak and design our meetings and our goals and expectations. But one of the things that we realized is that, we were doing great at tracking the minutiae, how many meetings, how many folders, how many agendas, but we were not great at tracking the macro stuff, you know, have we formalized the rebalancing and security selection process for clients that are in self-directed accounts? Have we done these things? So that's where we've broken down now. We've also worked with our planner. We've got his goals in place. So, you know, our bigger arc items now that we're going to be tracking is formalizing the wealth planning implementation process. So, We're close, but we're not quite there yet. It's the taking the next steps after the wealth plan is done and marrying them to the 24-month calendar, right? We just haven't quite got that meshing yet, but that's something that we want to get done and working smoothly. We need to refine some more stuff on our brand. big part of Kristen's day is responding to compliance inquiries, which is kind of, ridiculous. So we've, engaged our compliance officer to help us understand what's causing the triggers on their side. So we have a new compliance officer that's come in that's taken a different interpretation of the guidelines, the asset allocation guidelines, the risk budget, things like that. So we're working with them proactively to get ahead of it. So we've broken down some of these larger arcs, which are all important to, important to being successful Supernova practice. There's a bit of a keystone thing, which, is going to be a client dashboard. And that should help me refine all of this stuff. If I get the right client dashboard piece in place, i.e. have they had a wealth plan? When was it done? When's the next review? And what were the action items from it? What's their desired asset allocation versus current? If I can get that dashboard refined and implemented, I think that will kind of bring this all together. Cause then I've got 12 touches with a client every year to bring this together. So
one of the things you might think about is taking the 8 strategies that we, you know, if you look at the 24 month calendar, most of them are calendar driven.
Right.
And those don't require any real, spreadsheet analysis.
Right.
The other 8 are product, and service introductions that would require, did we do this for this guy or didn't we? Memory. So the idea is that you want to take it out of your memory and stick it in, or even out of the financial plan and stick it in a spreadsheet. So as you're doing the spreadsheet for updating the client, you might have a box for each of those 8 strategies. And check them off. Some will be universal.
Yeah.
And some will be, we already talked about that a year ago. So we don't need to talk about it. So things that would be, a big topic like risk management, which would include all insurance products,
yeah,
you probably couldn't use that as a checkbox, right?
Right.
But if you had something specific like second to die policy, that you could check off. We talked about it and then put the date down or something. Yeah. The idea of liability management would be something you talk to everybody about. So what do you owe, and should you use your personal balance sheet like you'd use a corporate balance sheet? Do you want to take advantage of your balance sheet and borrow in a comprehensive but, you know, prudent manner? Well, yeah, that's a conversation for everybody, but maybe mortgages is something we already talked about. So we don't need to bring up mortgages again, although we could. So the idea to me would be to take sort of your macro topics, and then underneath each one would be a series of opportunities that you can use. For example, in lending, securitized loans are a very, at least in our world, a very lucrative way to borrow, very convenient and lucrative way to borrow at a very low rate with very little paperwork and hassle. So everybody should know about that. But if somebody, you know, if somebody's done it, then frankly, the fact that they've done it once is probably going to mean that they'll do it two or three more times. So, you know, they've lent money for one child to build a home. They'll probably lend money for the other child to build a home in a securitized loan and then maybe transition it later to a mortgage. But, you know, something like disability conversation would be a topic that you'd talk about once every 5 or 10 years. So that would be a checkbox under the risk management. You see, it just depends on what, how, you know, how you want to go. If you want to go very detailed on, or you want to go kind of big broad brush. I talked about risk management. I talked about liability management. I talked about asset allocation. I talked about, you know, legacy planning, right?
Right.
So those are kind of the bigger topics, and the underneath one would be lots of different ideas.
Right.
I don't know if you're having, you're probably not having the crazy land that we are in terms of the tax code. They're just throwing everything up against the wall and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, no, it's, well, we got some stuff that's going to come down the pipe, but nothing, yeah, not as crazy as what you guys are going through now.
Well, our hope is that nothing ends up happening. They exhaust themselves in their stupidity.
Right. You
know? So
yeah,
this latest wealth tax idea, it was tried by, like, you know, every socialist organization in Europe, and they all, some of them passed it, and then they eventually get rid of it. They always get rid of it because it's really impossible, and it's just so unfair.
Yeah.
Instead of celebrating the success of people, they're figuring out ways to, you know, people will figure things out. Smart people figure out ways to avoid taxes.
Well, so, and the people that they're going after are the most, they have the most ability to travel and to transfer those assets. They can change countries. They're the most mobile of the population, right?
Of course they are. Yeah.
It's
like when they tried to screw corporations by having the highest tax rate in the world in the US. What did they do? They all went off. They did inversions.
Yep.
I mean, it's just going to happen again. So anyway, and don't, you know, they say, well, we're only going to tax the top 1,000 billionaires. Yeah. How long will that last when they figure out they can't get that much money from them? Then they'll go, well, we're going to tax everybody.
Yeah.
With unrealized gains. We're just getting warmed up with this sucker. You know, we're just going to invade your every account that you have and come in your house at night and knock on your door and break it down and decide that we're going to. Yeah. Take your money.
Well, I spend time planning to help my Canadian clients avoid U.S. estate tax. If you're a Canadian resident and citizen, but you own more than $100,000 in U.S. citrus property, which includes U.S. companies, shares in a U.S. company. And right now, if your net worth is above $13 million, you are exposed to U.S. estate tax.
But isn't most that's brutal.
Isn't it?
Do they give you an exemption?
For the first $13 million of your estate, yes.
Joint? And
above that. Yeah. There's offsetting spousal credits. So there's ways around it. You can own the U.S. securities inside of a holding company, or you can own them inside of a mutual fund. There's certainly ways around it, but it's one of those things where the IRS is there, you know, and it's not something you want to have an executor go through if you can avoid it.
Right. And then you got the state, you know, the states trying to get a little bit of you too, right? If they can. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So your guys are,
anyway,
they avoid, I mean, Do most Canadians want to be, no, they can't, do they want to be a U.S. citizen so they can have like Florida exemption or no? Taxes are better up there?
It's just more of a headache. So, there's not a lot of, because the IRS is so overreaching, and it's because the IRS is the only, to the best of my knowledge, it's the only tax regime that will tax you on your world income, regardless of source. As opposed to in the country which you earn it. If you have dual citizenship or have a U.S. citizenship as well as Canadian, you're just exposing yourself to more taxation. We are a highly taxed populace though in Canada relative to the U.S. We certainly pay more income taxes, I believe. I haven't done it dollar for dollar, but you also have the, you know, Florida has no income tax.
It's a progressive tax. So it doesn't end up being, you know, maybe at the highest rate, you're at 43% or 51% if you're in New York or something. But it's that's not what you pay. You pay like 25%.
Right.
Overall, that kind of thing.
Yeah, no. We're way more highly taxed. But there's things like we can't, I don't know if that's, if they've repealed it or not, but like we can't write off the interest on our mortgage payments and things like that, right?
Yeah, we call that the SALT tax. And it's been, you can only take so much in terms of deduction for it. For state taxes, you used to be able to deduct all your state taxes and your mortgage up to $1 million of value of the property or $1 million mortgage. And now they've limited that whole deduction to $10,000. So, you know, that used to be $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 for some people. So that's been a big slam. That's why all the New England states and highly taxed states are screaming, because in California and Connecticut and those, they hate that. And we're like, hey, you guys make the money. You want to be the liberals? Well, you should be the one volunteering to pay taxes since you love government. Right. Yeah. You should be, thank God for every day that you have big government.
Big, efficient, and effective government. Yeah.
Very ineffective and very efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I think when I reflect on the business and how things are coming together, you know, and as far as coaching goes and things like that, I think it's all moving in the right direction still. I think that, as we've discussed in the past, I need to get off my butt and really start promoting the business and, working on, capturing clients. Now, our firm did do a net promoter score survey. Only four of my clients were hitting the survey, but, we got 3 10s and an 8 out of a possible 10. And the individual that gave the 8 review, they said that they would unreservedly promote us and refer us to friends and family. The reason why they gave an 8 rather than a 10 was that they said in their feedback that they don't have any dealings with. So it must be with how the question was worded, because my business is at BMO Private Wealth. And then so in the feedback on the question, they said, we haven't really had any relationship or dealings with Bank of Montreal, but Eric's great. So, you know, but that's all well and good. So from that standpoint, things are good. And one client specifically called out, they said the new service plan, the regular calls and contact are wonderful and great, and how we take an interest in more than just their finances. We care about them as a person. So that was great. So from that standpoint, it's all coming together there. I have now, I do have a COI now, who I'm going to be, I've got monthly calls scheduled with her. She's also, great. She's the accountant for my second largest client. So that works out, or sorry, third largest client. So that's going to work out well. That's a long time coming.
That's great though. Congratulations.
Yeah. So we, So I think, you know, that's good. And it's the right kind of, she's a partner at KPMG. She's, you know, well established and high up. So that's good.
I made a note that gratitude model.
Yeah.
The enthusiastically endorsed model, which is what you're talking about, building that out. And then the gratitude model is thanking your clients for the faith that they put in you on an anniversary basis. And then also, thanking the person that referred you and doing that on a monthly basis.
And we haven't implemented that. We haven't got that rolling. Kristen was going to work on those dates, and getting that brought into a client, the existing, you know, cover sheet and process, but we don't have that set up yet. So I'll follow up with that. That's great.
Yeah, that's one of those that you don't, you know, it's not getting you into the possibility of any risk. None. Okay.
Right.
Those are two things that you can do that, you know, the working on your, on the enthusiastically endorsed list and referring those people on a regular basis to your best clients, assuming you've done the homework on them. Right. So once you've vetted them, they go on your enthusiastic endorse list. You meet with them monthly and you regularly refer them. And then you go through each client and ask them each month, can you enthusiastically endorse your next? Right. So it's CPA, attorney, estate planning attorney, et cetera. You work your way down the list until you get to their greengrocer. You know,
right.
you try and get everybody in the community that's a professional that these people would need to have if they moved from Quebec to Montreal to, you know, someplace and you were the guy that they needed to help, particularly if, you know, they're in your neck of the woods. So that can be different by geography. But you want to have those answers.
Right.
The other is thanking the client and then thanking the person that referred you. And those are just mechanical things. You just have to sit and get it done.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you can don't rank them by the year that you brought them in. You need to have the year in there, but rank them on your, spreadsheet by the month so that the month shows up all together on the spreadsheet. And then you can just copy and paste that onto your monthly to-do list. And that becomes your monthly agendas. So it goes right on your monthly call. I've got to call Rob Knapp this month. And it's 1242. Oh, and this is the month he opened his account. And that tells me I also have to, and then you put where it came from. And then you want to put it on that person's monthly call. Thank the CPA. If you have to make an extra call, it's okay. But most of the time you're doing 1242 with those people that referred you anyway.
Right.
And that's the ones that you want. You've got to make sure you call them because they're the ones. Oh yeah. Eric, I forgot. You know, I have another guy for you.
Right.
And that's the idea. You can do it without asking. How to get introductions without asking. And I really would want you to do this because I want it to work. And then I have some statistics that prove it. If you don't implement it, I can't prove it works. But I'm very certain it's going to work. You're going to call me back and say, you know what? That worked. It's amazing. The guy gave me another introduction. So, right. And there's no risk to you in any of this. People, all you're doing is thanking people. And the same with the enthusiastically endorsed model. All you're doing is doing a survey. But if you have six people that all recommend an estate planning attorney, might be a good idea to see him or call him.
Yeah. Perfect. Okay.
So that, you know, because look, you kind of said, I'm probably not going to be the guy that's going to go out and cold call or, you know, we don't even recommend it, but you're not going to be the guy that's going to aggressively go out and market yourself. So let's do the things. Therefore, you need to load up on the things that will get you introductions without you asking.
Right.
You have to be really, really good at those things. Okay.
Sounds good. I like it.
If I think of another, the other is, you know, and this is not something that you have to do this second, but the, board membership is another one of those things that you earn. You earn the respect of the people that you work with, and then they will give you introductions or they will become clients themselves.
Yeah.
Right. So that's something else you can do where you really never have to ask. You just do the job and become president.
Yeah.
I've got a guy that's just before you and he's kind of the same kind of guy. He's immense. He's really smart. He's really, really good. Loves managing money, but he's not aggressive at all in marketing. And so he told me he met with the symphony board, you know, met with the symphony people and he's probably going to join the symphony and he's really proud of himself. I said, get out there.
Yeah.
Get out of here, you know, and you pick things that you like, right? A cause, heart, cancer, something. And then one of the arts, the museum, you know, art museum, symphony, mm-hmm. opera, some big art. Rather than the little art. The big art is where the people with money tend to congregate.
Right.
And they,
not a local craft show.
No, right. No. And I love the fact that, you know, all these people are on their dad's club and that's it. That's great. Okay. That's good. That will get you the dads of your friends, of your kids, but it won't get you. You know, the big money in town. Mm-hmm. Cause they've got grandchildren.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Just be as proud of your acquisition success as you are with your, not the success, the activities. Okay.
Right.
Be very proud of what you're doing now in terms of your modeling of servicing clients. Awesome. Okay. Very client centered. Now be as proud about the activities you're doing to build your future as you are as to servicing your past.
Right.
And your present. And it doesn't mean you have to make yourself uncomfortable. You just simply become more visible.
Right.
Now, did you end up hiring a person that would help you with internet marketing?
No.
Okay.
Here's where we're at on that is, Kristen's been working with our internal marketing group. She has a monthly meeting with them. They cleaned up our website, cleaned up LinkedIn. So our digital, storefronts, if you will, are not as terrible as they once were.
Your digital footprint.
Yeah. So So that's where that lies. We have not, we haven't engaged anything further than that. We haven't implemented any further, web-based marketing programs or processes. There was something where, in a recent sales call, they highlighted some of the IAs in our firm, so investment advisors in our firm, that were what they called digital superstars. And so, and in looking at some of the stuff that they had highlighted, I thought, well, shit, yeah, that would be great to do those things. So that, that is something that I've got Kristen looking at, because they had internally they put together a course on it, if you will, to even just be able to see what's out there and what's available. So that's kind of, it's in the peripheral, but it isn't, we haven't really pushed anything on it.
Yeah. My recommendation is do nothing except hire somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm active because I don't know why. I kind of enjoy it, and I'm on LinkedIn, and I do stuff. So yeah. I post things, and Cindy's very active, and we have a pretty good website, and we do, and I like writing, and I like all that stuff. So I enjoy it. But Bruce Johnston's a guy that works with us and works with FAs with their internet marketing, and he does a good job. Morgan Stanley does the best job of anybody in the States at having a team of about 60 people internally. Now they probably have 120 now. They started with 6, then they got to 60, and I bet they're at 120. But you hire them, and you pay them on an annual basis, and they take care of everything for you. They post for you, they keep up your websites, and you can actually, go into a strategic tactical plan with them. This is what we're going to do. We're going to have webinars on tax changes. We're going to, you help me by sending out to all the people that are on our email address, and where we have email addresses for them all, and invite them and all our clients and then all our centers of influence. They can really be an extra marketing person for you for very short money.
Right.
Bruce is a little more money, but he's been very good for me. He kind of sits in on all our meetings. We had a staff meeting Monday, and he's introduced me to a team in the UK that have got a CRM system that I think looks pretty damn good. Maybe better than anything I've ever seen. And but he's, he's helped me, and hence we got, we got 2 companies in Brazil that we do work for, and I coach Brazilians. And so, it nothing that I would ever get otherwise. Right.
Right.
Is it enough to make a difference? I don't know. Let's say it's, 25,000 a year, maybe, from one, and maybe 25 from the other. That's, that helps. Those become decent clients. So he's probably paying for himself and maybe a little more. And I don't look like an old stodgy guy on the internet, So my brand is enhanced, and I think that's always smart, right?
Yeah.
So I throw that out because there's things, look, we are who we are. And if we're not going to be the superstar, as the market sees superstars in marketing, well, maybe we can be better at organization structure and process.
Right.
And maybe we can hire people that are good at certain things that give us a higher visibility, which generates marketing opportunities, which generates business. It's kind of like do what you do really well and hire other people to do the rest.
Right.
But you should not leave it alone. You shouldn't ignore it. because it's your future, right? And the money you spend to get a client may be one-time cost. The client stays with you for 30 years, right?
Right.
So the cost becomes minuscule, amortizing it over the life of the client. It's like me. I can teach you everything I can teach you in a year may cost money, but you keep that knowledge. Whatever you keep doing from then on is amortized over the course of your career, right. Assuming you keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
That's why I want to get you to, you know, to actually implement some of these things so that they live on. It's a one-time upfront cost for you of time and energy and focus. The payoff should be for the next 30 years. Just think, if you do this every month for the next 30 years, what that generates in terms of probabilities of increasing introductions, referrals.
Right.
Just raises your probabilities. That's all. That's all you're trying to do. Is just, that's how you invest. That's all of life, is increasing your probabilities by making good, reasonable choices based on the information you have at hand. Right.
Yeah.
So that's what that's about. So I would say, you know, the passive marketing of gratitude strategy and the passive strategy of community involvement would be two things you can do without ever saying, open up an account with me.
Right. Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah. And I think the key sentence that you mentioned in our chat here is, be as proud about the business building activities, as I am about the, you know, the service, right? And become more visible, but not necessarily by being uncomfortable. So right. Yeah.
Put in the work. You're willing to put in the work. Put in the work.
Oh yeah.
Okay. And make the work as in acquisition as important as the work in retaining the clients.
Yeah.
Because every client that you get is then one that the market won't lose to a fraudulent FA, right? I mean, that's the worst thing in the world, is that you didn't bother to get them. So they went to XYZ and lost their ass. We had Bernie Madoff, who was brilliant marketer, horrible human being.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And, another piece that, so in our last call, you had mentioned, you know, just say that I'm going to work on this for 5 minutes. So I've actually implemented that in my day. So I set a timer on my phone. So, you know, I commit to whatever task it's going to be for 5 minutes, and then I find myself, you know, getting into it. So that's helped move the needle on a few things. So.
Oh, great.
And I'm going to continue doing that. Yeah.
That came from my daughter. She's a coach for Weight Watchers. Yeah. She's,
you know, it's just these little, it is, you know, it's just these little things that help. And I used to do that, but I got out of the habit of it. So it's just a nice reminder. And it's one of those things where I'm the type of person who, I see another shiny object and I chase it, right? So, but once I get into deep work, I definitely stay there. If it interests me, I go deep and I could be gone in it for an hour, but it's, having the discipline to start the process is really what it's about.
Yeah. I like these, because they're painless.
Yeah.
No, these strategies, use them. They're painless, and you'll be proud of the fact. I mean, what's wrong? What can go wrong thanking people? Nothing. Nothing can go wrong thanking people. And asking the question, can you enthusiastically endorse? You're going to learn about your clients. So just pick every month. That should be the top question on your agenda. Not the first thing you do, but the top question, meaning somewhere in there, in your presentation, in your conversation with the client, Oh, by the way, just wanted to check with you. Can you enthusiastically endorse your cardiologist? Oh, yeah. You know, I'm part of the Zipper Club, and he did a fabulous job on me. Okay. And I mean, how valuable is that if you have that name? And then what, even better, what if you build a relationship with him? Mm-hmm. Now he's closed to most people, but you refer him. Right. And he'll take a referral from you, whether that be, you know, a concierge doctor, a cardiologist, or a travel agent. I mean, for concierge travel, I mean, all those things are important, right?
Right.
So anyway. Okay. Let's have a fun call the next time. It'll be fun no matter what, but.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is good. Thank you. Thank you for your time, Rob.
Appreciate it. Eric. See ya.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.